Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Just want to read something. It's a story that takes place in John's Gospel, but I'm reading it from Mark's Gospel. After leaving them, Jesus went up on a mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them walking on the lake. He was about to pass them by, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed. We've been looking at thoughts in John's Gospel, particularly with the thought of transformation. And when Jesus encountered people, people's situations were transformed. Either through like a direct miracle with the man who was born blind in John 9. Blind could see. Transformation. Or, it's better. Or, for example, with the woman at the well, she didn't have a miracle performed by Jesus. But her outlook on life was dramatically changed for the better. Today, I want to focus, if I may, on one further effect that encountering Jesus has on people. That is, they were...
Hello.
This effect that they had on that Jesus had on people.
Just the effect Jesus has on people.
Was that they were amazed. And so my title this morning is Amazed at Jesus. And there are these phrases: they were amazed, or even more amazed, completely amazed. Many translations put it astonished at Jesus. Now, in my early life, the first person who struck me as having quite a regard for Jesus was my mum, who was not a Christian, but she had a brother, my Uncle Robert, who was a Christian. In fact, he was a lay preacher, and he told my mum about Jesus. And funnily enough, I got to hear about it through my mum, who wasn't a Christian. She hadn't accepted Christ at that point. And then I was in probably equivalent of year 7 at secondary school education, and we all got given the Gideon's Bible, and I had this Bible at the side of my bed, and I thought, you know, that Jesus, I want to find out more who he is, what he does for you. And I started looking it up and trying to find, so frustrating, I could never find Jesus. There's someone called Job. Someone called Elijah and this sort of stuff and this, that and the other. And where's Jesus? I could never find him. Several times I picked it up and couldn't find him. I didn't know where to look. I just want to make a point. I think there are people who have been coming here. I don't know who you are. And you have an interest. You have a drawing towards Jesus. You somehow know that he's good news. And you want a part of this. Somehow you want him in your life, but you don't know him yet. I just want to say, there's a passage in the Bible that says this: ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. He or she who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. We're all on a journey. I was on my journey. You can know him. Amazed at Jesus. The first way that people were amazed at Jesus was they were amazed at his presence, just him turning up. Now, this was very true for me, because when I became a Christian and the presence of Christ flooded into my life, this passage from the Bible resonated with me. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Just the presence of Jesus in my life by his Spirit. Just, I had the same job, I had the same likes, dislikes, ate the same food, but my whole outlook on life had been transformed, had been changed for the better. So excited I was. But that passage that I read to you about Jesus walking on the water, it was just his presence that made all the difference. See, there was a storm. Well, there wasn't a storm in this situation. There was a strong wind, and the sea was very rough, and they couldn't get effectively from point A to point B. They were stranded in the middle of the lake, tossed by the waves, blown against by the wind. And life can be like that, can't it? Kelly was sharing about how in her life she's experienced trouble. And isn't it great when you can be honest and open up about things and say, you know, that's what it's like. Through my life, I've gone through real times of struggle and difficulty at times. Here were the disciples in this boat and not able to move. They were tied down. And sometimes a storm can be raging inside. I mean, with this amount of people here today, almost certainly there would be people here like that, with worries, with stress, with anxieties, with difficulties that you're facing right now. Don't tell me there isn't. There is. To do with a job, relationships, or lack of relationship, your health, concern for loved ones, money concerns. And I don't know about you, but for me, when just recently I had a number of things and they all hit me at once. And I thought, oh no, how are we gonna get around that? Or oh no, another totally unrelated, how are we gonna get around that? And it's like being on a boat and suddenly there's a wind and you know, the boat's rocking about and you can't make it from A to B. You are stranded in your life with a ball and chain on your leg. And life can be like that. But then Jesus comes walking on the water. He doesn't say anything. He just turns up. And, you know, just the presence of the King can change everything. Just the presence of the King can change your situation. Reminds me of a story from the Toronto Blessing in Canada in the 90s. The glory of God came down. David was speaking about that last week. The presence of God in an unusually powerful way. And people would fall on the floor. And there's this lady. She fell on the floor, but she did something a bit strange. I was going to do this, but I won't roll on the floor. And she was on the floor and laughing, almost hysterically, you know, really, really laughing her head off. And she'd get a finger and she was on the floor, you know, laugh hysterically. Kept doing that. Afterwards, somebody said, what on earth? When she managed to get up, and somebody said to her, what were you doing? Laughing your head off and then just putting your finger on the floor. She said, I've got mountains in my life that I can't see a way through. presence of God came to me, and I see things from a totally different perspective now. Those mountains and molehills, I can squish them in my little finger. The presence of the Lord is enough. You know, sometimes I think, you know, sometimes you don't even need to pray. God sees your situation. Just his presence can calm a storm. I just wonder, are you going through storms today? I believe it's his will. I think it's a God-given right. You have a right to get up in the morning, not have a ball and chain around your leg, to know that you can go through your life, you can get from A to B with a certain peace, a certain joy in your heart, an expectation of good things ahead, because the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And have a hope of good things going to happen in your way. And Jesus, they're straining. How are we going to do this? We're in danger of capsizing. How are we going to get there? And he comes and his presence changes everything. And there's another story in another passage, different situation, same sort of thing. Jesus sets off in the boat with them, and they're going along, and he falls asleep, just Jesus. And it says a furious storm comes up, and the disciples with him fear that the whole ship is going to be tipped over and they're all drowned. So they wake him up and say, Master, Master, the storm. So Jesus gets up and he speaks. And the whole situation changes. The storm dies down. The sea becomes calm. Did you know just one word from the king can change everything? If we move from amazed at his presence to the next one. Amazed at what he said and did. Great, great that scream. Dead good. just what he said. Now you say, well, I don't know, you know, I've been searching. I kind of want what you've got in this church, but I've not felt the presence of God in my situation yet. What can I do? We can do what the disciples did. You know what they did? They called on the name of the Lord. The Bible says, all those who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you got a situation, someone you love, a situation that you're facing in your life? What's the answer? To call on the name of the Lord today. People were amazed at what he said and what he did. Do you know people were amazed at what he didn't say? The chief priests accused him, this is Jesus, just before he died, of many things. So again, Pilate asked him, aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of. But Jesus still made no reply. Pilate was amazed. He didn't say something. You even get amazed at Jesus. He didn't say something. He'd been falsely accused because Jesus had challenged their man-made religious traditions, and they were dead jealous of all the miracles he was performing in the name of God. And they were supposed to be godly, but he was the God-man. And they wanted him dead. But he didn't try and defend himself or say how they were wrong or criticize them. It would have been true if he had. But he didn't take that route. Rather, when he was hanging on the cross, bleeding to death, he said, Father, forgive them. For they don't know what they're doing. And something that can bring transformation to your life is if you have hurts, if people have let you down, you've been betrayed. People have said bad things about you and you know it. Everything within you wants to strike back. Everything wants to defend yourself and stand up for yourself and, you're going to show them what? But that wasn't what Jesus did. God can give grace to forgive and let things drop. And there are some people, I think, here that need to hear that. It was great when Andy started out with the Lord's Prayer. Big bit, I thought, I was wondering, should I share this or not? Something Jesus didn't say, but just leave that with you. Grace, you need to let it drop. You need to let it go. It will become a cancer. It will become a bitterness in you that will destroy you. Forgive, 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 and God will forgive you. They were amazed at what Jesus didn't say. I want to come in on this, land, as David would put it, land this airplane, by the fact that, do you know what? Not only were people amazed, but do you know what? Jesus was amazed. Jesus was amazed. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him, guess what? They were amazed. Where did this man get these things, they asked. What's this wisdom that's been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he's performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives and his own home. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few people who were ill and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. I can relate to that as a matter of interest. I've got two older brothers and a sister. Sometimes in depth, I've explained to them what happened to me as much as I was able. How I met Jesus, he came into my life, have eternal life. And partly because I'm the youngest, my sister would say, well, Hugh, I changed most of your nappies. And now you're telling me the purpose to life. Get lost, will you? I understand that. I understand that. I do. The thing is, she doesn't believe me. They don't believe me. And I'm amazed. I'm amazed. So I understand Jesus here. See what I'm saying? But let me just ask you this. Do you struggle to trust Jesus? And that's not a criticism. I'm just asking you how it is. Kelly's been very honest today. I'm just asking you, do you struggle? And it's a rhetorical question, so don't embarrass yourself. It's all right. But I'm just asking you. Log it in your brain. Right? Do you struggle? Are you on a journey of faith and you feel, I'm not there yet? Do you know what? Hey, I want to tell you. God wants to encounter you. He wants an encounter with you. He wants to transform your situation, radically change your perspective for good. You won't be disappointed. I don't think any, well, the Pharisees were disappointed when their high-minded, puffed-up ideas, Jesus shot them down. They were rather disappointed. They wanted to kill Jesus. But I tell you what, the ordinary, everyday person, they weren't disappointed by Jesus. Their lives were enhanced. It was the best thing that happened to them. But Jesus was amazed. We need to encounter him personally. And I told you this before. My sister said to me, my older sister, you know, she said, you just expect me to have blind faith then? And, you know, I didn't say it at the time, but thinking about it, no, Brent, I don't want you to have blind faith. I want you to know, I want you to encounter Jesus. I want you to experience his life, his presence in your life, because just the presence of the King can change everything. And then one last time, when Jesus was amazed, when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home, paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus heals. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. Say the word only, and my servant will be healed. When Jesus heard this, he was and said to those following him, truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Great faith. Now, on the Richter scale of faith, here's his brothers and sisters, his people who grew up with Jesus, who changed his nappies and all that sort of thing here, so to speak, with all due respect, who didn't believe him. And over here is a pagan, no religious background, who just took Jesus at his word, whom Jesus commended and was amazed at for his faith. Where on that scale would you say you are this morning? Just as a rhetorical question, don't call out. Where are you on there? I tell you what, if you're sort of in this end, say, well, I'm struggling with this. Do you know what? God doesn't condemn you. If you've not got much faith, fine. Great news is, do you know what? If you've not got faith, you can get faith. If you're struggling to believe, believe means to trust. Struggling to trust, you can get that. And you can know the transforming, life-giving power of the Spirit of Christ coming into your life. You've got a right to wake up in the morning with optimism, being optimistic about how your life's going to go, and that things are going to work out, and that you're going to find solutions to problems. Not saying you're not going to have problems, but that you can expect to see solutions to problems. And God is for you in that. So I'm just asking if the worship team would come back up, and we're just going to, and I'm just going to pray from that for you. If you're here this morning and you're saying, well, do you know what? I'm excited, Hugh, about what you're sharing. I'm in that place. That's great. Then use when we're just praising now to pray for people around here, as David was showing, praying for, because God wants people around us here who don't know him to encounter him, to find him, to know his presence, to know his word. That just one touch from the King can change everything in our lives. That's it, really. Presence of God and the Word of God coming to us today. So, what can we sing? So, wherever you're at this morning, and I don't know where you're at, but Jesus wants you to encounter him, to know his presence, to know his life bubbling up within you. So God bless you. So Heavenly Father, thank you that you sent Jesus so that we could have life in all its fullness. And I just pray for each one of us here today, that in our respective positions and situations, Lord, I just pray for any who are full of fear and anxiety. They feel that life is like being in a boat in the middle of a storm, and they don't know how they're going to get through. Thank you, Lord, for your presence, and I pray that your presence will, if you're not with them at the moment, then come into their lives right now. If you want Jesus to come into your life, just invite him in. Just ask him to come. You can do something as well. You can call on the name of the Lord. Now, Jesus is not asleep, but sometimes we need to wake up to that fact that we can call on the name of the Lord for ourselves, for people round about us.